Now.
Sports talk.
While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick is going to speak momentarily. He's scheduled to speak at 11. And when he steps to the microphones, the assembled media in Foxborough, we will go to it. We will hear from him. Hi, Dan. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us. He's brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com.
What if I'm in the middle of some really great thought and Bill goes to the podium?
Then we go to Bill.
Then we'll go to Bill.
Okay.
And then you can pick up your thought on the other side.
Just
do you have some really great
thoughts? You're here for
2 hours. That you wanted to get to?
No, actually, no.
How come you're not down there asking questions today?
Because I'm here with you.
Attaboy.
Because this pays better.
And, you know, I don't participate in the stupid game by and large.
You know. You're not looking forward to a lacrosse question today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill, it's today Tuesday. Well, it's traditionally the day that follows Monday. You know, it's just like, I've been down that path enough. I know what he's doing. I don't hold it against him.
Today's the day he gets his money from the hamburgers, right? Gladly pay you Tuesday. Wimpy. Yeah, whoever asked that question today should be let out.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how you go in sideways on this. You know, Tom's here. We can talk about the people who are here now.
He's here.
Yep.
No doubt about that. So when you wrote that if you were forced to choose between Alex and the Patriots, did you have the answer in mind? Well, or did you think that was some sort of burning question that... You know, would be shocking if he were to answer with Alex Guerrero in TV 12.
But when you frame it that way, doesn't that alarm you a little bit? Or think about if you're a fan of the Patriots,
football's a hobby. You know?
I mean, if this guy is, he would choose his trainer, his nefarious, you know, pretending to be doctor, concussion medicine,
his faux doctor,
you know,
trainer.
This guy, he would choose this guy over the New England Patriots,
ancient Chinese medicine doctor.
And you say it with not even batting an eye. There's no question.
Yeah, I think it's dealing in reality.
Isn't that a little troubling?
Well, sure, compared to what it was 5 years ago, absolutely. He's not the same guy.
Holy, I just, you know, and I, hey, we all love Tom Brady. No one's ever delivered like him, the whole thing. It's all true. And that's, I was very careful in that piece today to, oh,
here you go.
I see Bill. See ya.
All right, here we go. Bill Belichick in Foxborough.
Headed into our third week here. First 2 weeks of OTAs, this week of mini camp. So it's, you know, a good process. I think we're making progress. We obviously have a long way to go. We'll start to get into some situational football and keep moving things ahead. But I feel like we've got a decent couple weeks, and hopefully we can just keep stringing some good days together this week and get ready by the end of the process. Put ourselves in the best position we can to get to training camp. And so that's really what this is about. So just try to keep stringing together.
Is it good to have your quarterback here?
It's good to have all the players here. It's always good to work with all the players.
Did everyone report?
Everybody's here.
Coach, did the absence of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski slow your progress down at all, or how did that affect what you've been trying to do?
Yeah, well, the OTA system is voluntary.
But did it affect your progress or what you were trying to do at all? Have any effect at all?
It's a voluntary program.
Do you have to catch the players who weren't here up at all?
Well, that's the answer.
Do you have to catch the players who weren't here for the last 7 weeks up at all?
Yeah, we have players that are in various stages of participation. And so everybody does what they can, best they can, to get ready to go, whatever they can do. So we have guys that are in a lot of different situations.
But what kind of adjustment period do you expect to occur here with two important players from your offense coming back?
Yeah, look, everybody's out here just, again, we're all, myself, all the coaches, all the players, we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to get ready for the season and take every day, every opportunity we can to put ourselves in the best position to have a good training camp, have a good season. So we're all doing the same thing.
I feel like you and Tom are kind of in a good place right now, and a good understanding of where each other sits.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
Concern you at all that he chose to stay away from OTAs this year?
He's done that before.
The whole time?
If you go back a few years, there was times when he wasn't. I mean, look, again, it's a voluntary program. So that's what it is. You have to ask him about it.
Any reaction at all to the Eagles being snubbed?
We're focused on what we're doing. Yeah, we're focused on what we're doing today. We want to try to have a good day.
Will any of the Patriots players be fined or punished if they kneel during the national anthem in the upcoming season?
I don't think we're doing that today. We're in OTAs.
I'm just wondering if they will be fined or punished.
Yeah, we're focused on today. We're focused on having a good practice today. That's what we're out here for. That's what we're going to concentrate on.
Bill, I realize you're focused on minicamp and the players here today, but Eric Reaver is one of the high-profile free agents that's from the amazing side of this league. You're a talent evaluator, and strictly from that perspective of talent evaluation, is he a player that's good enough to still play in this league and here or elsewhere?
Yeah, right now I'm focused on evaluating the players on our team and having a good practice today. That's what I'm doing.
Does having Tom back now allow you to do more in practice?
Our practices are structured in such a way that we just move forward from the first day of OTAs to the last day, which I include the minicamp and the OTAs. It's part of the same schedule.
What areas do you feel like you need to work on based on some of the past practices and camps?
We need to work on everything. Well, I've been on the field for 5 days. So coaching, playing, communication, execution, we need to work on everything.
Bill, I just wanted to clarify something you just mentioned in terms of OTAs versus minicamp. Do you view this as, like, because it is the first part that's mandatory, as a restart at all, or is it just a continuation of what you've already been at the last few weeks here?
Yeah, we already had 5 days. Yeah.
Did Tom's absence help Brian Hoyer and Danny Etling in their progress just because they got more reps?
Yeah, again, I don't think it's really about who is or isn't anywhere. It's about each of us individually trying to make the most out of our opportunities every day to get ready for the season. That's what we're all doing. So you'd have to ask those guys. I'm not sure.
What about seeing Rob Gronkowski this morning? It was good to have him back here as well.
It's good to have all the players here.
Do you feel like you're in a good space with him as well? He's stayed away and seems to be grumbling about a few things as well.
Yeah, you'd have to talk to Rob about that.
Bill, as well as you know Devin, have you noticed any different dynamics with having his twin brother here with him?
It's hard to tell them apart. Got to take a second look. They've been great. Devin's been great. Jason's been great. They're both great workers. Have a great understanding of football. They're very instinctive. Good team concepts. Good teammates. Enjoy having both of them around. Just have to look a little closer to make sure I'm talking to the right one if they're not in uniform. But we have two sets of twins, so it's doubly challenging.
With Tom and Rob, are you concerned or are you confident that they are dedicated to the team and that their head is going to be and their heart's going to be all in it this fall?
Yeah, you'd have to ask them that question. They've always been that way ever since they've been on our team.
Bill, do you have an all-or-nothing OTA policy where a player either shows up for the whole thing or just can they show up, for the second half, for example?
Those policies are all covered by the league.
Bill, when we have access to OTAs and minicamps, one of the voices you can always hear is Coach Ivan Pierce, that enthusiasm. What is that vocalness and enthusiasm that he brings to practice? How does that help these younger players adjusting and even the older guys receiving feedback?
Yeah, well, I think each coach has their own style out there. And as you said, Ivan has a very vocal style. He has a lot of energy. And it's fun to be around for the players, the coaching staff. And he adds a lot to our program. A lot of experience, a lot of energy, a lot of passion for the game. So that's good for all of us.
What have White House visits meant to you in the past? And do you feel any level of disappointment that it's, become a point of contention between the league and the White House? Whoever's in charge.
Yeah, we're focused on what we're doing today. I'm not really worried about what everybody else is doing. We're trying to have a good practice and take advantage of the opportunity we have to improve as a football team today.
Have you enjoyed them in the past? They meant something to you?
Today we're out here on the practice for OTAs.
What are the biggest things you're hoping to accomplish? What's a successful camp to you?
Each of us individually has an opportunity today to improve and to help prepare ourselves for the 2018 season. That's what we're all out here for. So. each day we get a chance to do that, it's an opportunity that we'll all try to take advantage of.
Have you and Rob engaged in any contract talks to renegotiate his current deal?
No, I wouldn't discuss that publicly. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick saying that players are all there. That includes Tom Brady. That includes Rob Gronkowski. He seemed to play nice on that. And also said that OTAs are voluntary. He reiterated that that is voluntary.
Looked as relaxed and at ease as I've seen him in a while. Comfortable.
Dodged any questions that were related to, obviously, the contract with Gronkowski, as you just heard. Did not want to touch the subject of the Philadelphia Eagles and the White House. He had nothing to do with that, but he did seem happy that all of his players are now on the field in Foxborough. We'll follow up with thoughts on that. Bill Belichick just wrapping up his talk and time with the media in Foxborough. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We'll talk Brady. We'll talk Gronkowski and get to some of your calls coming up next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is it good to have your quarterback here?
It's good to have all players here. It's always good to work with all the players.
Coach did report.
Sorry.
Did everyone report?
Yeah, everybody's here.
Feels good to have everybody there. That's what Bill Belichick said. Tom Brady's there. Rob Gronkowski's there. Whole team is there. Dan, you were in a deep thought before we heard from the coach. Do you remember what it was?
I can't remember. I'm so dazzled by all this new information.
Let me check the transcript. I'll go back and read it back to you.
I had to reconfigure all my thoughts because of all the news that just came out of there. That's what I mean about the stupid game. That's why waste your time going down there.
You don't think there's anything to be read into about this?
There's a little bit of reading in. I saw you taking a few notes there. I appreciate that.
Well, I think that... Zoe and I agree on this. He played nice today.
Yeah, and we also talked about the rep thing. Like, is he going to stick it to him and put Hoyer in there with the first? Just got a little thing that Tom Brady's working with the ones.
So there you go.
There you go.
So back to normal. Back to normal business.
Exactly. There's no punishment for
Both
not
guys
showing up.
Need voluntary. Each other. What do you want to do? You want to win football games?
I mean, yeah. Just by him stating that it's voluntary, this is how we've learned to do it. You can read into that. That is him saying no, it's voluntary, covering and killing any storyline about Brady not being
even at it. He's missed before.
Is he not doing him a favor? Is Bill not doing Brady a favor by simply reiterating, no, it was voluntary. That's voluntary. By not saying anything about
he's not
this being a continuation.
That.
He would barely even say that minicamp is a continuation of what happened in OTAs.
But when you say it's voluntary, you are telling everyone Tom chose not to be here.
I thought there was a really...
Right, but you're also letting him off the hook for not being there.
Well, yeah. You're not going to spank him when it's voluntary.
But this is my point. He doesn't have to reiterate the voluntary part of it. We have never, Dan, checked the transcripts over the years, heard Bill Belichick emphasize the voluntary nature by the letter of the law.
I don't see that as a positive statement by Bill, necessarily. You can read that either way.
Well, the league has changed, Dan.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a positive development for the team or for Tom Brady. I agree with you on that. I'm just saying in terms of the relationship between Bill and Tom.
It's olive branching.
Bill is extending an olive branch. What? Bill is doing Brady a solid by coming out and reiterating
that
again today.
What would have been the
opposite
of that? What would he have said that would have been the opposite of doing him a solid?
We like to have all of our players in OTAs.
The newest players that show up need to start at ground zero.
I can only focus on the guys who are here, but I think that to be the best team we can be, we hope as many guys can make it to OTAs as possible.
And here's what benefits Brady and Gronkowski.
That's not calling out an individual player. That's just answering the question. Yeah. And Dan, answering the question the way these guys have answered that question for 15-plus years. We played the Brady going back 3 years. Tells you how important OTAs are for getting good groundwork for the season and building the foundation. And those are those answers that they've gave for 15-plus years. And then all of a sudden this year, Bill emphasizes the voluntary nature of OTAs. We've never heard him do that.
Okay.
And the only reason
Voluntary's
he is
been
doing that,
more than anything
the only reason
year.
He is doing that is because Brady and Gronkowski didn't show up for it, and he's doing them a solid by doing that. He's changing his tune to make it easier on those guys, because if he says the same thing he said for 15 years, more pressure is on those guys, and those guys look worse.
You could be a Parcells dictator and say, yeah, it's voluntary, but honey, if I don't see you, I don't think about you, and I don't know you. Okay, so...
No, I like the way
you come if
going.
You want to. You know, I mean, I think you got to give Bill credit for adapting as things change and the league changes and it's softened year to year to year to year. I thought what was interesting, he said, you know, we've been talking about this for, what, 35 days now?
Oh,
where it feels
that.
Like they've been together throwing 35 yep. days. And Bill deferred to, you know, we've only been on the field for 5 days.
He's not talking about 7 weeks.
Whoa, okay. Right. So Bill's really only concerned that last phase of the OTAs, the five where you come together as a team. And I don't say he dismisses everything else because you built to this point, but somebody asked the question too, are these guys going to be behind or what stage are in? Let's not forget this is Tom's offense. He's not going to be behind. Don't think he hasn't exchanged emails or, hey, here's Josh in the offseason. And Tom, we self-scouted and I have all these different concepts and things I want to implement. And don't think they haven't been going back and forth on we can't be the same or we want to change certain
concepts.
Okay,
but concepts. What about the guys?
They've gotten bigger.
Personnel is different.
They've gotten bigger at receiver. So Tom
yeah, but
needs
the personnel is different.
Personnel is different.
It's not all the same.
Right, but he's got Edelman back. So it's sort of you're implementing a huge part of this offense.
You can't just tell me, though, that they're up to speed coming in day one. That is giving
red
Tom
zone
Brady too
change.
Much credit.
Red zone. Read the stuff on the red zone. You got Matthews, Britt, Mitchell. You got Gronkowski now. You got all guys that are 6'3" or 6'4", bigger than the red zone. You're a bigger red zone target type team. And I just thought it was interesting, too, the one question regarding OTAs. Bill, do you have a all-in or an all-out OTA policy? Meaning, you just can't show up for four OTAs mm-hmm. sessions and then sit out the other 11. I thought that was a really good question.
The league dictates.
Bill quickly deferred to, there's a league. Check the league on that.
So Bill did everything he could today.
Bill's ready to go on every answer.
He did everything he could to not further inflame the situation.
Bill's ready to move on.
To soften the blow.
He's ready to move on.
For Brady and for Gronkowski and to try and minimize any further storylines as it relates to the friction that does exist.
Yeah, and that's smart, adjustable coaching.
He's smothering it right now.
I mean, Red Auerbach always said, Bill Russell doesn't want to practice. That's fine. He doesn't have to practice. But it wasn't going to affect him on game day. This is all we're asking for. And,
it's almost
you do treat him differently, and he's treating him differently here.
It's almost like it's red carpet treatment for Brady here. Here, we've allowed you guys to do what you want. You've shown up. I've played nice. You're right back in with the ones. I spoke. Questions asked about those players, he said, you're going to have to ask them.
Okay.
So now he's laid out the carpet for Brady to talk. Would you think Brady's talking today?
No.
I don't.
Of course not. No. He's transferred all the pressure on this to Tom now. It's like if things don't go well, you know, Bill played along.
Here's your next article.
It's all there.
Yeah.
So if things don't go well, it's all going to be on Tom now. And I'm wondering if the rules are going to change for Guerrero this year. Do you think there's going to be any bending of that?
I don't.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But Brady already has a bending of the rules for him.
They've got access.
Well, right,
he's given him access to go spend time with Alex. Right.
There is more access
it's
for Brady
doing
than
it in
there
my building.
Is for any other player.
I understand. But deep down, Bill's got to be seething about this, not happy about it, and he's kind of had to eat it a little bit today. Can't be happy about that. So it's like,
I think
it's
it makes
okay,
you,
Tom, it's on you now.
It makes you better as a coach, better as a player to be able to change and understand, hey, these something's working for these guys, and they want to continue it to help extend their careers a little bit. I mean, I think you got to bend a little bit on it. I don't think he's going to bend to where he's going to allow him back in the room or on the plane. That's not going to happen.
But they still don't want
that. Really undercuts him then.
They don't want this whole culture of guys going there. And
well, they're paying medical people to work under staff, so there's a process in place here. It's the way you train and the people to treat you.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of people.
But you have the op. But you as an individual have the right to go see these guys on your time. Why should you be mad if these guys are going there instead of going and eating chicken wings and eating burgers or going to the movie and going out to bars as opposed to going up there to get treatment?
Because they're doing something that flies in the face of what your own people, your hired people, are telling them to do.
No, but I'm saying if you do all your in-house
requirements.
Right, because
naturally, Zoe, if you're choosing to also go to Alex, it's not as cut and dry as, oh, they do it on their own time. Okay, but the treatment that they receive there is going to be in direct conflict with the treatment they would receive in-house, and we know how that ends. It ends with Rob Gronkowski telling a trainer, I'm not doing squats. Or it ends with Rob Gronkowski saying, you don't touch my back. I go to Alex for the massage of the back. Yeah. I don't do it here. So you can't have it as easy as they just do it on their own time in addition to everything they do in-house. Well, no, because those two things are not, they don't go together.
It's the first time where
you
really have guys at a high-end, operating at a high-end rate with this machine that they have going down there in Foxborough, that are bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. They are Hall of Fame guys that they have to deal with still playing at the peak of their career. And they've got to give a little leeway on them. I think this is the first time we've seen this around here.
I don't know that they're going to get their leeway. I don't know that they are.
They've already just got 4 months of it.
No, I'm talking about leeway with Alex. What
no,
we're talking
but
about.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Talking, well, what
yeah.
other leeway are you talking about?
Well, I mean, they've given them time to go train and do get ready for minicamp with Alex. Who do you think they've been training with?
Fred is in Canton. Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Freddy.
Fred.
Hey, listen, my take on the Brady thing is this. I think that, and a little tying into a little bit of what Amendola said, like, you know, I poured my blood, sweat, and tears into this. Tying into what Brady said, you know, what are we doing this for? What are we doing here? I think he's still pissed that he's been there. He's been the good soldier. He's done everything. He's done the extra. And then the Super Bowl comes and Butler doesn't play. So I think he's still pissed about it. I think this is his first opportunity with organized team activities to not show up, to show he's pissed. I mean, if he just shows up for the first thing, how did he even make a stand and let Belichick know, like, you screwed us in the Super Bowl and I'm pissed about it, so I'm not showing up. I mean, I think that that's all it is. Now
you think that's
here,
the number one issue for Brady?
Maybe not number one, it's but not, I think Guerrero. It's number one. I think it's number one on his mind right now. No, see, it ties in. He wants to do Guerrero. He wants all this stuff. But like we said, if Butler plays and they win that Super Bowl, this isn't happening. It isn't. They won the Super Bowl. He's going to deal with everything else.
The issues were there going back to last camp. I mean, do you understand the Gronkowski part of it where I don't feel right? And, you know, there were incidents. And this is some of the stuff that, you know, we laugh at times at the Wickersham thing, but there's some truth to some of the stuff and the brushback that's gone on down there. This is way prior to Malcolm Butler. Tom Brady blew up on a Buffalo sideline way prior to Malcolm Butler. You know, Alex Guerrero was pulled off a plane way prior to Malcolm Butler. Jimmy Garoppolo was traded prior to Malcolm Butler. Jimmy Garoppolo was brought in here prior to Malcolm Butler. There's a lot of things weighing into the situation that it's at right now.
I think it's about his money. I think it's about that. I think it's about access with Guerrero. I think, yeah, sure. The Super Bowl definitely is a factor. You could put it on the list. That's not driving him right now. Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl did not drive Tom Brady to not show up for OTAs. I don't believe that. Troy in Dorchester. Hey, Troy.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, you know, I just want to touch on that this whole flag thing that I thought was all the way dead until they made that new rule.
Yeah.
So, like, I get messed with a lot. You know, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a black dude. And so, like, you know, if I'm driving through a town where I'm a new face, I get pulled over. I just do. I get pulled over a lot. I get messed with, ID, what's in the car, blah, 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 the whole spiel. So, it's important for people to understand that these guys aren't kneeling because of the flag. It has very...
Troy?
In the game... where they could be seen on television not playing football. That's it. It doesn't have. I'm just.
Okay, your phone is the problem today, but I get your point.
Yeah,
that
it feels like we can actually fill in the blanks there. Like we know what he was going to say.
Yeah, he's saying it's not about, you know, right, being against the flag or being against the military or being against the country. It's none of those things. It's what I gathered from his call.
I was gathering that as well.
Okay, so then we're on some sort of. We're on some sort of wavelength there.
Yes.
We're receiving the message
telepathy.
Anyway. Yes.
I think we had it.
Hardy has our headlines. He'll get us caught up on everything that's happening in the wide world of sports today, including what I think is going to be the beginning of the end, Hardy, of the Stanley Cup and the Vegas Cinderella story.
It feels like it's not happening.
It's all
3-1. The last team came back.
Felt that way yesterday, yeah. And then last night confirmed.
I was at TG Oshie. You get a hot dog and a weigh-in on a train? Get some street meat.
Seems over.
Yeah.
He'll get us caught up. More with Dan Shaughnessy is on the way.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots mandatory minicamp began today, and Bill Belichick got things rolling by meeting the media.
Is it good to have your quarterback here?
It's good to have all players here. It's always good to work with all players.
Did everyone report?
Everybody's
there. Everybody's there. Duh. Of course. Tom Brady out there taking reps with the first team, along with Rob Gronkowski. More on that coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox take on the Tigers tonight. Stephen Wright, your starting pitcher for the Red Sox. Tigers split a doubleheader in Detroit yesterday against the Yankees. Capitals over the Golden Knights in D.C. last night, 6-2. Washington now up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Final. Game 5 Thursday night in Las Vegas. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saugus, Natick, Dedham, and West Springfield. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
But what kind of adjustment period do you expect to occur here with two important players from your offense coming back?
Yeah, look, everybody's out here just, again, we're all, myself, all the coaches, all the players, we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to get ready for the season and take every day, every opportunity we can to put ourselves in the best position to have a good training camp, have a good season. So we're all doing the same thing.
Everybody's happy in Foxborough today. Sunshine day down there on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke a short time ago. I think he's covering for Brady not being at OTAs along with Rob Gronkowski.
1:30 p.m. is player availability. So start to hear from players towards the end of practice. And that's
I don't think we're going to hear from Tom.
I don't either.
I doubt it.
The Witten.
It'd be nice. It'd be a nice surprise.
Well, I wouldn't keep in line with. It'd be neat if he would say, you know what, I do want to talk. It'd be nice. It'd be like him extending the olive branch saying, I'm ready to move past this.
Right. Too. Couldn't he say something where he kills the story about him not being
sure.
at OTA somehow?
My mind is ready to go. I'm ready to play ball. Let's go win another one.
Something.
Yeah, just give us something.
Little something.
But it wouldn't line up with other years where he hasn't talked until it's mandatory at minicamp. I mean, regular camp.
But don't leave out as well that Bill Belichick said today he's always had a great relationship with Tom Brady. Got a good relationship, good working relationship with the quarterback. So there is that. Also today, we've been talking about Donald Trump telling the Eagles they're no longer welcome to visit the White House. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Dan, what do you make of this story today?
Well, we don't do politics on this program. We all understand that.
We've been doing a little bit of that today.
Have you?
It's kind of unavoidable.
Well, I mean, this guy, like, the president just, he has to make it about himself every time. Like, he was afraid he was going to be embarrassed. So it's like, you can't quit, you're fired. You know, one of these things. So you're not going to come, then there's no party. And it was just about not being embarrassed. It was about crowd size, you know. Size of everything is important to this guy.
Of course.
You know, so this was going to be small crowd and an embarrassment.
It would have been harder to hide than that inauguration crowd.
Yeah, the 10 guys.
Would have been a bigger problem for him.
And it's stupid, it's petty, and it's unfortunate because they should send the delegation they want. He should honor them.
Yep.
See you later. You know, I mean, I went with the Celtics in 84. Larry didn't go. Chief didn't go. Max didn't go. No big deal. Doesn't have to. It wasn't political. I think Larry's probably hung over. Max had to go get his wedding license or something. Chief, we never knew where the hell he was. He's probably getting a package delivered or something.
He had a FedEx delivery scheduled for that.
But
morning.
You didn't crush those guys for not going.
No. It was we mentioned that they weren't there, but it wasn't like it wasn't the lead item.
Did you crush Tim Thomas for not going in any articles or?
Tim Thomas changed the narrative a little bit. He actually kind of started this.
Yeah.
with his accompanying tweets or whatever it was, message boards. I don't know how he was getting it out there, but I don't think anyone would have noticed that he wasn't there.
I think it was Facebook posts.
He sent
the big ones are Facebook posts.
He sent
posts.
The accompanying message, like, here's why, just so you all know, here's what's going on here. And I thought that kind of changed the landscape of the whole thing. And, of course, that was a different president. But, I mean, Tom had a history, yes, no, because he went to the State of the Union. Was that Bush?
Yes.
Yeah, he went to that, and then he wasn't at one of these. I don't know. It was like, and of course, and Donald Trump, shame on him, wouldn't mention Tom Brady when the Patriots went there last year.
Probably pissed he wasn't there.
That was bad. I mean, he was talking about these key plays in the Super Bowl. I think Brady had something to do with everybody being there that day. But because he didn't go and decided that day I'm not coming,
the
president
kiss his shoes.
Erased him, like in the Kremlin, just erased him from the history of that Super Bowl that he had nothing to do with it. And he's citing plays by Flowers, Key Sack, and all this sort of thing. You know, it's like, hey, great, knock yourself out.
Trey Flowers.
And there was a problem because
he
mentioned Amendola. Hey, Danny, come on down, turn around here. Like, where's Danny? It's like,
not here today.
some doofus staffer probably got crushed for that, for having him in the text and then not having him there. So it was, yeah, it's, again, it shouldn't be all about him. It should be about the team and the celebration, the Eagles, long-suffering fans. And it just creates this hostility. It splits everybody, which is unfortunate. We don't need any more splitting. How's that?
Yeah, no, that's true. 617-779-0985. So if you have thoughts on that, feel free to contribute those. Yes,
Hardy. Philadelphia mayor was pretty measured about it.
Is that sarcasm?
Democrat Jim Kenney said disinviting them from the White House only proves that our president is not a true patriot, but a fragile egomaniac obsessed with crowd size and afraid of the embarrassment of throwing a party to which no one wants to attend.
Stop him when he's wrong.
It's all true. The mayor of Philadelphia.
All of it's true.
Yeah, and then again, the president's tweet, it goes to lowest common denominator, you know, which is these guys, if they're not going to respect our military, then, you know, those things are not necessarily connected.
No, they've got to constantly distract and make it about something.
There are military people who are okay with this. Like, okay, I was over there, I got my leg blown up, but it was so people can protest. That's why we did it. You know, there's not everybody, and I understand. There's old-timers, and God bless them. You know, get up there and salute the flag. I understand that, too. My old man was WW2, and he would not have been down with this. You know, he would have been right there with the Donald. But these things are not necessarily connected. And when did, like, Muhammad Ali became a hero? He dies. Everybody's like, he's the greatest thing ever. He was a draft dodger that everybody hated back when it all went down.
Yeah.
And you go back to John Carlos and,
there's so many
and
mixed,
Tommy Smith with raising their fists.
Mixed comments and opinions on both sides, too. And I've heard this from people that support the people that protest what's going on.
Yeah.
But they have other platforms, not just NFL game day. Like, okay, you have all these other events you do. Even a guy like Tom Brady, who does a ton of things and he travels for all of, you know, whether it's Tony Robbins or whatever company's hiring him to do this, that, or the other, or his own. He has his own foundation, I mean, or charity. Why don't you use those platforms to use, you know, your points or your opinions?
I mean, there is no
the let me keep reminding everyone today, the Philadelphia Eagles did not kneel at any point last season.
Nothing to do
let
with
me
it.
Keep reminding everyone of that. That seems to get lost in all this.
Yeah.
They didn't kneel. So you're talking to another team. You're not talking to the Eagles. They didn't kneel. Nope. Nobody did. Not a single player last year took a knee.
It's more of who's not going with him, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well, it ain't about kneeling. Right. He's got, that's not them.
And he didn't mention kneeling.
Yeah. And he's still butthurt about the NFL not letting him in the club years ago. You know, he's
got yeah, a caller mentioned
that
earlier.
He didn't mention kneeling. Yeah. He cited the reason for not going is because they don't want to stand for the anthem.
He added that.
That's
what he cited. He added that. It wasn't that. It was the lack of response of people not going.
That's not what he said.
Yeah.
He said the reason they're not coming is because of the anthem. That's what the president said. That's his reasoning. So that was very much cited yesterday as the reason for them not getting invited. The team that did not kneel. Didn't have a single incident of that last year on their team. Everybody stood
and the Patriots
for every
did.
Anthem. That's right. And then he bragged about having the Patriots last year who did have guys who kneeled last season. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. I do want to get into the Red Sox a little bit with Dan. Because, they came out of Houston with a 2-2 split, Dan. I thought it was good. I thought it was good that they came out of there with the split.
Absolutely. I thought the Saturday win was the biggest win of the year for them.
Good. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A breaking ball that is absolutely hammered to dead center field and gone. Number 10 for Mitch Moreland, and the Red Sox strike first tonight.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan, you think Saturday's win for the Red Sox is the biggest win of the year? On the road, Saturday, they had dropped the first two. And you think that one is the biggest one?
Well,
Price on the mound?
To your point, yes. I think that you know, I was getting ready to hammer them with the, they don't beat the good teams. You can't match up with the Astros. Lose 3 out of 4 to them last year in playoffs. And then, you know, games 1 and 2 of the series, they were competitive, but, you know, game 2 got a little bit away from them. And so they lose 2 straight. They're in another close game. This is Verlander Price, and they're behind. They're behind Justin Verlander. And I thought the Vasquez homer, followed by the Benintendi homer, changed a lot. Price was able to hang in for 6. The bullpen, you know, little perils in the 8th with Kelly, and then Kimbrel got it done in the 9th. I just thought, you know, on the road against that team, come from behind against Verlander,
yep,
to stop what would have been a 3-game losing streak and another demonstration that they can't beat the good teams. Yes, I thought that was the biggest win of the year for them. And it certainly carried over. They beat Charlie Morton the next night, scored a bunch of runs. And because they had some pretty thin lineups in that series.
Yeah.
And this goes back to my Hanley point.
You've been outspoken about Hanley, too. You didn't like the move.
I mean, I don't mean to overinflate. We know what Hanley was and what he was not. But that was an arrogant, you know, jump-in-the-gun move, which it was risky. And it continues to be risky. Because,
but it hasn't hurt them yet, and you know
well,
it. You know it, Dan. It hasn't hurt them yet, and I know there might be a point where it
they
does.
Could have used them in the first 2 games in Houston. You know, I mean, their lineup, they had Nunez hit in 5th.
Yeah.
They had Devers down to 229 or whatever, hit in 6th. And then the 3 guys after that were all below the Mendoza line. And that would be Vasquez, Swihart, and, of course, JBJ.
You're right. They lose 3 in a row. If they lose those first 3.
So don't tell me that. And then when you DL Betts and Pedroia the same week that you release Hanley, and you call up a guy hitting 220 at AAA who's a first baseman, Sam Travis.
Yep.
Now, you know, and again, these stupid people on Twitter, you say, you know, Hanley, you know, lifetime 313 against Verlander, maybe you could have used him as another bat in the bench, you know, maybe not the best time to release Hanley with all this going on. And it's like, oh, is he going to play second base? No, you called up Sam Travis. You know, you called up a first base. It's a bat on the bench. They only have 3 when the game starts because of 13 pitchers in the DH. And when those bats are, you know, Swihart or Vasquez or Leon or whoever, it's a little thin. And, well, you didn't want to pay him. You didn't have to pay him. You're paying him the $15 million for the rest of this year either way. You're 200 at-bats away from the incentive kicking in. So keep him around, have him bitch and moan or whatever, but let him get up there rather than Sam Travis. That's all I'm saying. It's just they're not better than they were before they did that, and everyone's so quick to rationalize it. Well, he was going to be a problem. Well, that's what your manager's for. Don't tell me he was going to be a problem before he's a problem. And don't call up Sam Travis and then tell me that your team is better than they were with Hanley. Hanley had a horrible May. Great. You know, Jackie Bradley Jr. has had a horrible 2.5 years, and he's still playing every day when he has an option to go to Pawtucket. So, I mean, I don't know what the Hanley hate was.
Is Cora getting too much credit for that? Where Dave Dombrowski says, I'm going out for a run. Alex calls and he says, hey, I got an idea here.
Well, I think
first-year manager's got an idea.
It sets up Cora to be the blame if it goes the wrong way. And Hanley still hasn't signed with anybody yet, and it doesn't look like the Yankees are in play. The Orioles, if he goes there, that's great because, you know, he could hurt you a couple of games, but he's not going to hurt you in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm
if
just ends wondering up, where all that demand the, is if that, he ends up, that well, been rumored. Because right now he's been a free agent for many days? Like
Thursday.
Five days
yeah,
now?
Yeah, but I think that...
He hasn't found a spot?
I think that helps my cause, not yours there.
Why is that?
Because he could have signed with the Orioles like last week. I think he wants to be with a better situation.
He wants to wait for a better team.
I think you could sign with some of these bums that want.
But I don't know how that helps you.
God forbid he does.
I mean, if he got snapped, you know, snapped up right away.
I'm just saying,
team,
you know, it's.
I think it would the suit likelihood. Your argument,
the likelihood of them regretting this is more if he signs with the Astros or the Angels or somebody and then hurts them in October.
But wait a minute, too. Say he does sign with the Orioles.
They're not.
Say you lose 2 or 3 weird games to them, and that ends up costing you the division.
You shouldn't lose to the Orioles even with Hanley Ramirez. I'm sorry.
I agree with that.
Okay. My second guess of Saturday's game, which you are calling the best win of the year, and you know what? I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'd have to think long and hard about it to call it that type of, you know, name, give it that sort of title. I think it's good that they came out of there with a split. I heard a little bit of Maz yesterday saying that it was 2-2 and they lost the series 2-2 or something along those lines, and I don't get it because they lost the first 2. They're on the road. They split with the Astros. I look at that in a vacuum and say,
absolutely,
that's one of the best teams in the American League. You played at their place.
Oh, it's the best team.
And plus, Chrysell has been great against good teams.
You finished on a high note. I felt there was some sort of response from the team this weekend.
They lost the first 2 games.
Right, and you mentioned
they beat Verlander and Charlie Morton.
Outlasting Verlander in getting those home runs late. Vasquez home run, which was a bomb.
All of his are. He's hit like seven in the big leagues. They're all like that.
It was off the back wall. It was a bomb.
They're late in the game. He pimps them. It's amazing.
As was Benintendi's bomb that he hit on Saturday.
What's
he hit another one on
six?
Sunday. My issue with games with the game on Saturday night is that Kimbrell continues to be used in the ninth inning, they could have used that guy.
Give it up.
They could have used him in the eighth inning. Now, I went back and looked.
He either won't do it or he can't do it, but they're not asking him to do it. They said they were going to ask him to do it. They're not asking him to do it. He wants those saves. He wants to negotiate the contract at the end of the year. Good luck with
this guy. He's winning it, isn't he?
Good luck with this guy.
So it's him.
One loves the 5-2 game, clean inning, top of the ninth, bring on the Rays. No one loves it like this guy.
So it's Kimbrell. That's the situation.
Good for Kimbrell.
So it's not the team. Alex Cora told us in spring training that he was going to use the guy in the eighth inning if the eighth inning called for it.
It's been totally can't then.
The heart of the Astros lineup is coming up. 2-3-4, we're coming up at the eighth. They go
100%.
To Joe Kelly, who everyone will tell me that, Joe Kelly's been great for the last month. Yeah, I know, but it's still Joe Kelly. And who's a better pitcher, Joe Kelly or Craig Kimbrell?
Yep.
Craig Kimbrell's the better pitcher. We all should agree on that.
Yeah. He only wants the ninth inning, 3-run lead.
Isn't that nice?
Bums coming up, and no pressure, clean inning.
Could have been crucial outs that he got for them in the eighth. Now, Kelly didn't give it up. I mean, even on the single that was hit to score the run in that inning, I thought Moreland maybe should have had that play.
He wants the save, and they want to get him the save.
Look at you. You can't even talk about the inning. You're so focused in on Kimbrell. I love it.
It makes me mad.
So I looked it up from last year because Maz was telling us yesterday, hey, Kimbrell was really good in the eighth inning last year. And so if you look at what he was last year in the eighth inning, he was good. Pitching in the eighth inning, he was, as I said yesterday, career eighth inning versus ninth inning. Not much of a difference between his ERA. Last year, he pitched 2 1/3 in the eighth inning with an ERA of 0.00. I looked up the individual.
A total of three innings?
Two and two-thirds.
So three outings.
He had a total of six appearances. These were not clean innings.
That's even better.
Because I saw that. I said six appearances in the eighth, and it was 2 2/3. And he didn't give up any runs. I looked up what he had as coming into the games. And he entered every time he was in the eighth inning. He entered with four times. It was with two outs, and twice it was with an out in the inning. That's what he had.
Good.
So
six appearances.
Six appearances.
But remember there was a little bit of a blowback on Farrell on that he was told not to do that anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, by members of the coaching staff. Right. Mark Carrabas had that one.
Yeah. Yep. I believe that to be true.
I think we all do.
And he's up at the end of the year.
So you think he's winning this?
Yes.
He loves the clean innings.
If he loves the save stat. He would have been in that, like you said, he would have been in the eighth inning of that game.
Does this hurt that Kimbrelling thing, that fad that's going around Fenway? Everybody's doing the bent over back thing?
There was a guy doing it back to him in the stands in Houston. Did you see that?
I did see that.
The guy was behind the back.
I want that guy's name. I want him on the show.
He had an Astros jersey. He had an Astros jersey. Yeah, he was going right.
Yeah, so he had eight, right over those 2 2/3, he had eight inherited runners. One of the eight inherited runners scored.
That's great. Use them.
That's pretty good,
right?
Aren't those all good stats to support Kimbrell pitching in the eighth versus pitching in the ninth if the situation calls for it?
How many saves did he get for those appearances?
Zero. I don't think he had any in those situations. Because
can't go to the bank on those.
I'm trying to. I can double check that for you to make sure. But I don't know that he did. I'll double check. Let me go back and let me see. No, he did. Three of the six were saves.
Right,
he did. He hung on for saves in three of them. He did have one blown save, and that was, I could tell you the date on that. That was July 15th against the Yankees at Fenway Park. Whoops. 617-779-0985. We got a bunch of different things going on. We got Red Sox angles, then Craig Kimbrell, his usage. The outcome of that series over the weekend for the Red Sox splitting 2-2. Is that good? Was that successful? Everyone here, I think, agrees that it was.
I think it was.
A lot of people, Maz would tell you it doesn't matter.
But we've given
very
credit.
Negative.
We've given credit to guys like Schilling and Pedro for stopping the bleeding. Why give it to David Price on Saturday if that's the case? You just lose two in a row.
I think he's getting it.
And let's see how they come out of Houston. And, boy, that could be a big turning point for this team. Staying in first place.
Positive direction.
It's a big one.
Back home tonight at Fenway. We'll get your calls on that. Your calls on the Eagles not going to the White House. And, of course, the Patriots and minicamp happening today with Bill Belichick speaking a short time ago. I don't know if it was an accident, but he had two different answers to the same question about his relationship with Tom Brady and his relationship with Rob Gronkowski. He may have just misspoke or not fully understood the question, but we'll play them back to back after these headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.